start with hymn number 302. 302. Oh joy, my Savior liveth.
Competition. Good morning. Welcome on this blessed resurrection day. But he, the angel, said to them, "Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who has been crucified. He has risen. He is not here." And we're so thankful that he is not in any tomb, in any grave, but instead sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. First thing is we ask for prayers for Peter's sister, Olivia. She has upcoming surgery, so please pray for her as she has to have that surgery. Lydia. I'm sorry. Lydia. Okay. Are there any greetings?
Greetings from Richmond Hill Church.
From Richmond Hill, thank you. And take our greetings back, please. From the elder meeting?
Yes, we bring greetings from the elders. There were 24 present there, and also some on Zoom. And we thank from the things went well, and then the brothers' meeting after that, they also sent a greeting.
Great, thank you very much.
And Chris sends her greetings. She wasn't feeling well today. Her stomach was bothering.
Okay, thank you.
In Mansfield, we after the meeting, then we're in Mansfield.
Okay, excellent, thank you. And Mom sends her greetings. Okay. And Lord willing, Cheryl and I will be leaving on Tuesday to go to Ohio for the foundation meeting and conference next weekend. So we'd like to take the greetings of the church to that meeting too, please. Today is Easter Sunday, and there's no lunch or afternoon service today. Just a reminder, the Sight and Sound TV streaming of Jesus is still going on for today and tomorrow, so you can still watch that. We will be having Wednesday night Bible study this week at 8 p.m. in person and on Zoom. I already mentioned the foundation meeting next weekend. Next Sunday also, there's a members meeting at 1 p.m. on Saturday, May 3rd, in 2 weeks. We're going to have a resurrection celebration potluck dinner here at church at 5:30, and all are invited. In 2 weeks, on May 4th, is communion for all members of the fellowship at 1 p.m. On May 10th, in 3 weeks, there's a rummage sale at church, and you can see things already being collected over in the dining room. If you want to donate something to be sold, by all means, bring it by the 4th in 2 weeks. Have it here by the 4th. And then on May 18th, in 4 weeks, there's a members' meeting also at 1 p.m. Backtrack. On May 11th, in 3 weeks, is Mother's Day and also the collection for the New Hope Pregnancy Resource Center. So the box is in the hallway for collecting things. Anything else that people think we need to announce? The quarterly mission focus is Zambia for this quarter. Please keep them in your prayers. And please pray for Brother Mark as he has this morning's service. But let us sing out of hymn 289, Behold, the tomb is vacant now, all verses. 289, all verses.
Good morning, one and all. Welcome to God's house. And a special, special, special joy it is to welcome each and every one on this Resurrection Day. Hallelujah. So thankful we are that we can gather together like this and again commemorate that empty tomb.
And before we start, let's turn to God in prayer. Lord Jesus, we come before Thee, oh, with grateful hearts and hearts just filled with joy, oh, Father, that You arose from that grave so many years ago. Oh, that an empty tomb stands there as proof that You are the risen Lord. And not that we need proof, but the fact that You are in our hearts, that You left behind Yourself in the person of the Holy Spirit to indwell us, and You've given us all good and perfect things we need in this life to sustain us in our journey onward and forward to heaven above, where someday we'll be in the bliss of serving You forever and ever and ever, time without end. Lord God, thank You. Thank You for this beautiful morning. Thank You for each beautiful person that is here to gather together and also on Zoom. And perhaps those would hear this message hereafter. May it be, Lord God, a message from Thee on high, an encouragement from Thee, Lord God, that will help sustain us in our life here below. Lord, as we open Your timeless scripture, we just pray for Your clearing of distractions from us, from things that might be upon our mind, that You are a jealous God and You don't want to share this time of worship and praise with anything else or anyone else. So let us focus completely upon You, and let us worship You together in spirit and truth in this place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So for our meditation this morning, the Lord's led me to a very familiar passage in John, and not the Easter story per se, but with the help of the Lord, He will instruct us, each one, in what He would have us to learn today about the resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. So that would be found in John 11. John 11. And we're just going to read two verses, although we might be flipping around to other scriptures this morning. But just to begin our meditation this morning, John 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. Believest thou this? Believest thou this? Now this account here that we're reading is a few days really before Jesus would embark upon His final week, as we call the Passion Week in Jerusalem. And He was visiting His dear friends in Bethany. Actually, He was not with His dear friends when Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary, died. And He, as we read in this chapter, actually delayed His arrival to go to see Mary and Martha. He had heard that Lazarus was very sick. He delayed his departure for 2 days and was really questioned about that. And in the drama of all this, we learned that he was urged not to go back to Jerusalem because the Pharisees and the religious rulers were wanting to stone him. And it was very dangerous for him to go back. But nonetheless, he led his disciples back because he delayed for a reason, he said to them. And the reason was that they might believe. There was a major miracle coming that, of course, Jesus knew about that they could not understand. And then, met by Martha on the way to the tomb, Martha said, had you been here? Had you been here? This wouldn't have happened. And Jesus said, He'll rise again. And Martha said, I know He'll rise again. But at the time of the resurrection, at the last day. But had you been here? Nevertheless, Martha does express, yes, I believe, Jesus, You are the Son of God, the Messiah. And we then have these precious two verses where Jesus makes it very clear that he's the resurrection, and that in just a short time thereafter, Lazarus was called out of the tomb. He was resurrected. He was brought back to life. So this whole issue, this whole topic, if you will, of resurrection, it's a very controversial one back in Jesus' day, for sure. And it continues to be today. But back in Jesus' day, he taught of the resurrection. The Sadducees, as we know, they didn't believe in the resurrection. He, at one time in his ministry, even pitted the Pharisees against the Sadducees intentionally, you know, by bringing up the resurrection. And then, as we know, in the early church, when Peter would be moved to preach about the resurrection, it's like, you know, they could abide any kind of preaching from these zealots, these followers of Jesus who had died upon a cross, anything but a reference to a resurrection, that he's alive. And again, today, I heard a poll that was maybe 40 years ago. I'm not sure the date of it, but almost 2/3 of Americans believed in the resurrection. And I don't know that number today. I'm not here to espouse statistics. Somebody may know that, but it's way, way below that. We know that because church attendance is well below 50. And those who express that they are Christians, actually, church-going Christians, is below 50% now, as I understand it. So obviously those that believe in the resurrection would be a minority. Those that believe that Jesus is coming back again, a minority of people in our society. So we are in the minority, dear ones. Don't let that rob your joy. Don't let that rob our joy this morning on Easter morning, on this resurrection morning. The resurrection was prophesied in the Old Testament. We can read that in the Psalms. Jesus himself prophesied, of course, many times of his own death and resurrection. Paul, Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, which is known as the resurrection chapter, talks much about that. In fact, he casts the whole gospel message in the context of the resurrection, really, and the truth of the resurrection. And so when we talk about the gospel and we believe the gospel, and we want to share the gospel, never, ever, ever forget the climax of the gospel message is the resurrection, that Jesus indeed rose from the dead. And because of the resurrection, the early disciples were mocked. And there's much mocking that happens then and happens now, I'm afraid. We have accounts in the book of Acts of the disciples who were witnesses of the resurrection, and they spoke with great power and with great authority and with great grace, we read in the Acts. Why? Because they were firsthand witnesses of this miraculous event that Jesus did rise from the dead. Now, was he the only one in Scripture we can read of that was resurrected? No, he himself performed that miracle, didn't he? He brought people from the dead back to life. The daughter of Jairus, the administrator of the temple, is one example of that. So what makes Jesus' resurrection so special if it wasn't the only resurrection that we read about? It's so special because of his resurrection and because of his life, we have life. Without that resurrection, as Paul said in the resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, we are men most miserable. We really are. Without that hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the rest of it is semantics. But with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's a living hope. It's a living promise that this carnal life that I have, that you and I share, is someday going to be replaced by an immortal new body, we read in Scripture. We'll have a new body, we'll have new life, we'll live forever in heaven above. And oh my, will that be glorious. And we're just not going to be sitting around plucking harps. We're going to be busy up there. We're going to be in, with great joy, worshiping God, serving Christ, and busy as I read the Scripture. And it's going to be great joy where we're going to be plucked out of time, where we're trapped in time, always watching the clock, to a time, a place where there will be no time. If you can imagine that. And that's eternity. And it's all because of the resurrection. So let's dig into these two verses real quickly and see what we can glean from these two short verses that we can apply today as we're here rejoicing on this particular day in the year of the Lord 2025, rejoicing in the risen Savior. And I just want to maybe, I could just underscore this and maybe just sit down. That might be best. But what I want to underscore is that word rejoicing. Let the joy of the resurrection beam through our lives today and every day. We have a hope because we are children of the resurrection. Just let that joy beam forth from our faces, from our entire being, as we are out in the public square representing the new life and the new hope that we have in Jesus. Well, anyway, back to John 11:25. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection." I want to stop there and say, "I am." This is one of the "I am" statements that Jesus made. Now, we all can perhaps remember when Moses was called as a shepherd in the hillsides of Midian, I think is where that was. Looking for affirmation here, yes. And anyway, God called him to a burning bush, said he's got a little job for him to do. He's going to save the Israelites, lead them out of Egypt. What a job. He says, "Well, who do I tell them sent me? You know, what do I say?" And God just simply said, "Tell them that the I am sent you." Isn't that a fabulous, comprehensive, unbelievable statement that God is the I am? He's the I am. He's everything. All in all, the I am. And Jesus is as well. And there are places in Scriptures where he said this, and this is one. And we can think about others, like, "I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the shepherd, the good shepherd," and so forth. And when he said those words to his audience, they were not lost on the first two words, "I am." He was proclaiming his deity. He was expressing something that the disciples just couldn't understand, and that is that he and God, Jehovah, are one. And we'll take the time, but we read many scriptures about that, especially in his high priestly prayer in John 17. He and Jehovah are one, and he's proclaiming therefore his deity. And what does that do? That powerfully authenticates his message. It powerfully authenticates who he is and who he was back when he said those words. He is truly the resurrection. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is the only resurrection, not the only resurrection in history, as we said earlier, but he is the only resurrection that creates life in all those who follow and love him and give their lives to him. There is a result of that resurrection, and that is true life. So I am, he said, the resurrection. The word resurrection in the Greek is anastasis, and it simply means rising from the dead. just what we've been talking about. It means in the dictionary. The dictionary is sort of interesting. I did take a look at that. And it's the action or fact of restoring a dead person to life. Without debate that's what the resurrection means. But first notice what he says here in verse 25, and he repeats it. But he says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Then he says, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall live. So notice that stipulation, he that believeth in me. And packed in that one word, believeth, is our entire walk of life as a Christian. Everything about us really is. What we do, what we say, where we go, how we look, how we respond, all those things are wrapped up in how we believe. And if we can say, as Paul said to the Romans, that if you confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There is no ambiguity in there. Thou shalt be saved. And that's the belief factor, the faith factor that comes along with believing in Christ. And oh yes, been there, done that, knowing what it's like to have little faith. And I'm ashamed to admit it, but you know, I'm just comforted every time I read that passage when it says, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, oh, I relate to that, Jesus. I know what that's like. But the promise is it can grow and it can become a tree where birds will sit, this mustard plant. Well, anyway, take heart. If we don't have the faith of the Apostle John or the Apostle, you know, the apostles who are following Jesus, we're a work in progress is who we are. Our lives are a work in progress. Why? Because we have life, and life is dynamic. It's not static. God be thanked it's dynamic and not static. That we have an opportunity to grow every single day of our lives. In fact, I've mentioned before, one frustration as you get older, like I am, one frustration is that you start counting the rest of your days as if, oh, there aren't enough of them to learn as much as I want to learn about God and about God's Word and about Jesus. And then I think, well, then I have all of eternity. I'll just sit around and I'll be asking, you know, the Apostle John, what was it like to lay your head upon Jesus at that Last Supper? What was that like? I had lots of questions. And we'll have all of eternity to answer those questions and to learn more. I'm looking forward to that. So I am the resurrection and the life, he says. And when we think about life, you know, of course, we can look at the physical life and we can look at the spiritual life. And really, I personally would interpret this as both. Obviously, you can make an easy argument for I am the resurrection and the life, that Jesus has given us eternal life, that new body I talked about, absolutely. But, you know, it's he also has given us life here below. That, you know, it says in Romans that we are, in our baptism, we are raised in the likeness of Jesus' resurrection. How so? That we are given a new life when we believe in him and we are baptized. A new life. And what does that mean? Well, this life below is what? An abundant life, right? It's a life where we have, and we were talking just a little bit ago, we are the beneficiaries of God's plan for our life. Where, you know, God actually has a plan for our lives, and we can experience that plan, and we can every morning say, God, lead me according to your plan for my life, and that's very much part of what Jesus is giving us through resurrection, is that kind of life. But it's that new life around that whole new way of looking at life, a worldview, if you will, a perspective, you know, your affinities, what you really want to do with your life, where you really want to go. All that is changes. We have a whole new perspective on our life. So the resurrection has given us that. And I know it's hard for those who haven't experienced that to truly understand, but for those of us who have, it's quite amazing. I am not the person I used to be. And I'm sure we can all express the same, to say, Jesus, you have given me such a beautiful, abundant life with a whole new way of looking at life that gives me new purpose, that just gives me new joy, that gives me new relationships to explore and new opportunities to serve you every single day. That's because of the resurrection. That's because of what Jesus did, not only upon that cross, of course, to shed his precious blood for the atonement of our sins, and to be buried, yes, taking upon himself our own sins, nailing them to that cross, and was buried. But boy, he didn't stay in that tomb. It is empty. It's no longer occupied. And we are the beneficiaries of that, as I said. And that is life. New vitality, new vigor. And that's something else. And I said I wanted to underscore rejoicing. Let's rejoice with vigor and vitality. That's what it's all about, actually. I mean, I can rejoice in my heart and not even know I'm rejoicing. But I want to share that. That would be selfish. I want to share that joy with you. And that's because of the resurrection, because of the new life that we have. And we want to also then think about this Christian life that we have and kind of understand that, you know, that life that we have is in and of itself is a gift. So we need to look at it in that perspective. It's like the parable of the talents, where the master gave 1 10, 1 5, 1 1, and he came back wanting to see how he increased those talents. Just life itself is that gift. What are we doing with our life? And that's where we start. We start with that very question. And God will lead us into relationships. He'll lead us into encounters. He'll lead us into places where we don't even expect that He will be there waiting for us to arrive, so that we can be His hands, His feet, you know, His ears, His eyes, His mouth, that we can represent Him in those encounters. We don't even know, like, what's going to happen tomorrow. Should God tarry and we're given the opportunity of tomorrow? Well, we've got a life that's a gift that can be used or not. It's our decision what we do. So he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, yet he were dead, or though he be dead, yet he shall live. And I just want us all to experience that life that Jesus gives. He then says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Have you thought about that? If we live in him today, we will never die. We read in Revelation about a time that's coming where there will be a great white throne, we read about in Revelation. And the purpose of that white throne is for God Almighty to sit upon and judge all those who have rejected his Son. All of those who said, yeah, tomorrow I will. Or they said, I don't believe there is a God. You know, have you ever thought, if somebody asks you, do you believe in God? What's your answer? Well, you could say, I sure do. I just spoke with him this morning. You know, hopefully we all do speak with him in the morning, and we can say that. And we know there is a God because he's in our heart. We know there's a God because of many life's experiences that we've made. We are the living, you know, representation of Jesus. That is what he's called us to be, and that is what our joy is. And then he makes a promise here. He says in verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. So I love that promise. We all love that promise. We know that someday that we will live in heaven with him. I brought up the great white throne judgment. The reason I was where I was going with that is that it says there that there is a second death. So for those who die a natural death here without Christ, there will be a second death according to Revelation. And that will be right after that great white throne judgment. There'll be a second death. But for those who believe, that's what Jesus is saying, shall never die. I mean, yes, there'll be a earthly death for most, if not all of us, depending on when Jesus comes back. But then we're guaranteed there will not be that second death for us, but we will live forever. So in this life, if we don't give our hearts to Jesus and follow him and believe in the resurrection and experience the joy of the resurrection and express the joy of the resurrection and live for him, then Jesus is saying very clearly that there will be an ultimate death. But ultimately, we will live and we will leave with him. And that's the promise that he gives. And then he gives us a challenge when he says this, believest thou this? And that's for each one of us to answer. There are varying degrees of faith, like I said before, the little grain of mustard seed to the big tree that it becomes. Various degrees of faith. And we are a work in progress. And we go through times of our life when our faith is weak. Like the father of the son who is a demonic came to Jesus and help me, Jesus. He says, if thou believest. And what was his response? Beautiful. I believe, Jesus, but help my unbelief. Been there, each of us, right? Yeah. So that's a very, very much part of faith that is also dynamic, but should be that upward trajectory. Why? Because that's what God calls us to do. It says to grow in his knowledge, to grow in his grace, and that our faith should always be abounding in him. And that's the promise that we have if we believe. If we believe. And then I love Martha's response in the very next verse, 27. And let us all be a Martha and have this response every day of our lives. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Hallelujah. Jesus rose from the dead. He is alive. He is coming back. Because he lives, you know, we can face tomorrow, all the tomorrows that he gives us. Because he lives, we can face those challenges that come into our lives. And not just face them, but again, let's face them with the resurrection joy of Jesus in our heart. And let that resurrection joy, please, be vibrant, be obvious, be evident, be everywhere we go. Amen. We'll finish by singing hymn number 121. We don't sing this one a lot, but just pay close attention to the words. It's a short hymn, so let's sing all the verses of 121. Well, I guess we need to get our pianist, huh? You need to get volunteers.
Thank you.
Thank you, brothers Frank and Mark, for this morning's Bible class and service. And we truly know that our Redeemer lives. And there's a song called Redeemer, and I'll just read part of it. Now I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer. He lives to take away my shame, and He lives forever. I'll proclaim that the payment for my sin was the precious life He gave. But now He's alive, and there's an empty grave. And we're so thankful that there's an empty grave. Brother Richard, can I ask you to have the closing prayer? Let's all arise for a prayer.
We thank you, God, and we love you so much, God, and we thank you that you are the resurrection and you are the life for us, because we are nothing without you. And we pray that you would always remind us and give us that love, that we can reflect it onto those around us. We pray that you would bless us this day and bless us in the future according to your will. We thank you for all your blessings to this point. We pray that you'd bless this church and bless all those that are gathered wherever they are in the churches, and we pray that you'd bless them this Easter Sunday, that we would always remember what you did for us, God, and that you'd always give us a thankful heart for all of your blessings. We love you, God, and we pray for those that are in need. We pray that you'd help them and be with them, and we pray for those that are sick. We pray that you would heal them to your honor and glory if it's your will, God, and we just thank you for all your blessings, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.